old may help control body weight. Another study from the journal Appetite found that when people had to remove the shells from the pistachios versus eating already shelled ones, they actually ate 41% fewer without feeling any less satisfied than the other group. So the takeaway message here is to purchase pistachios in their shells so that you have to put in a little extra effort to eat them. The researchers even pointed out that the leftover shells are a good visual reminder of how much you've eaten, and this goes along exactly with what I'm saying about high-response cost foods. You have to work a little to eat them, but it's so worth it. Pistachios are packed with nutrients such as potassium, magnesium, and vitamin K, as well as some protein and fiber. You've probably heard them referred to as the skinny nut, because they have the fewest calories of all nuts. But let me caution you again. Eating a pound of them a day won't make you skinny. Raisins. A study published in the journal Metabolism found that eating raisins, especially in combination with walking more throughout the day, reduces hunger and helps subjects eat less the rest of the day, possibly because of how they alter hormones related to satiety. Interestingly, they also found that subjects had a decrease in LDL cholesterol as well as reduced post-meal glucose levels. Raisins also provide your body with a type of antioxidant called anthocyanins, which scientists believe provide many positive health benefits, such as supporting heart health. Non-fat yogurt. When compared to snacks of cheese, milk, and water, yogurt had the greatest ability to suppress appetite, according to a study published in the British Journal of Nutrition. The subjects rated their hunger as 24% lower after eating yogurt than after eating the cheese or drinking the milk or water. It's important to know, the subjects ate less food later in the day after consuming any of the dairy products in the study, but yogurt did the trick more than the milk or cheese. Aside from filling you up, yogurt is pretty much a nutritional all-star, as long as you're not eating varieties filled with artificial sweeteners or junky add-ins like chocolate chips. It has healthy bacteria that can support digestion, and it contains calcium. Greek yogurt in particular is typically much higher in protein and lower in sugar overall. Eggs. There have been several studies regarding how eggs affect fullness, and they all point to the notion that eggs have more of a tendency to stick to your ribs, especially when compared to carbohydrate-centric meals. Subjects in these studies ate less throughout the day after eating eggs for either breakfast or lunch, and one study even showed that they ate less for the following 36 hours. There's little doubt that the protein found in eggs is high quality and is often considered to be the standard to which all other forms of protein are compared because of its broad range of amino acids. Eggs are also good sources of vitamins A, E, and B12, and they're inexpensive. Cod. There have been a few studies looking at how meals consisting of fish protein affect satiety. One study published in the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition compared the effects of cod and beef on subjects' hunger and satiety. What they found was that the participants ate less at a meal later that day after having consumed the cod at an earlier meal. What does this mean? Well, it could indicate that cod has the ability to make you feel fuller for longer so that you don't feel the need to eat as much later on. Codfish is also a low-calorie, delicious type of whitefish that is highly versatile in recipes. And with the growing concerns about fish containing dangerous levels of mercury, it's good to know that codfish is among the group of fish with the lowest amount of mercury, according to the Food and Drug Administration. Other fish typically found to pose a low mercury risk are shellfish, light canned tuna, and smaller ocean fish. Plus, it's worth mentioning that regularly eating fish can support heart health. Whole grain rye. Whole grain rye has been shown in several studies to increase the feeling of lasting fullness, even when compared to other whole grains such as wheat. Participants in one study published in the journal Physiology and Behavior felt a lower desire to eat for the 4 hours after eating a whole grain rye breakfast. Some researchers point to the high water-binding capacity of rye fiber, which causes it to stay in your stomach longer, as the possible reason why it increases the sense of fullness. Whole grain rye products such as rye crackers, rye flakes, and rye bread are healthy, complex carbohydrates to include in your diet. Tofu. Now, I know you might have some trepidation about tofu. You mean that mushy stuff? But put your fears aside and give it a try, because I think you'll be surprised at just how versatile it is. Here are just a few reasons why you should learn to love tofu. According to a study published in the journal Appetite, when researchers compared the effects of a tofu meal to the effects of a chicken meal, they found that the tofu meal kept the participants full for several hours longer following the meal. Also, soy foods have been found to support healthy blood pressure and cholesterol levels. Whey protein. Whey protein is one of two major groups of protein found in dairy milk. It's often used in protein shakes and powders. A study published in the British Journal of Nutrition compared how meals consisting of whey protein, tuna, turkey, and egg white protein affected participants' satiety. They found that hunger was significantly lower after the whey meal than after the tuna, turkey, and egg meals. The whey protein meal reduced appetite and decreased calorie intake at a later meal compared with the other protein meals, indicating a potential for appetite suppression and weight loss in overweight individuals. Time-release combinations. The new theories and research presented in this section suggest that when you balance carbohydrates, proteins, and healthy fats correctly in your meals, they can create a time-release effect in your body. My team has used this information to design balanced meals that are meant to make you feel full, and when you reach the management phase, you will learn how to create this balance on your own. Moving into the three phases. It's time to move on to the first phase, and as you do, remember, if you frequently choose foods that are nutritionally void, high calorie, or high sugar, you will not get the results you want. Instead, set a new eating pattern for yourself by following the nutritious plan I'm recommending and get ready to watch the number on that scale go down while your energy goes up and you feel much better. Part 3. The three phases of the 2020 diet.
Chapter 7. Phase 1. The 5-day boost. Ain't nothing to it but to do it. Maya Angelou. If you're one of those people whose meals perpetually consist of takeout, delivery, or fast food, and you've resorted to using your oven for storing pots and pans, then you need to do a little extra mental preparation before you start this phase. I hope you're sitting down for this piece of news. Healthy eating requires using your kitchen. But even if your nightly routine consists of heating up some packaged mac and cheese or browning some meat to mix with a box of pasta and sauce, then you might be surprised to learn that these meals are actually easier and take the same amount of time as, or less than, those highly processed, unhealthy options you're used to dishing up. This is a 2020 instant intervention. Right now, before you read the recipes for any of these meals, I want you to repeat after me out loud. I am not afraid of the kitchen. I promise myself that I will put in the minimal amount of time and effort it takes to prepare these healthy meals because I owe it to myself to change my relationship with food and food preparation. I don't need to be a gourmet chef in order to feel comfortable in the kitchen and become the master of my kitchen domain along with the master of my health. The 5-day boost guidelines. The first phase is 5 days long, and your meals will consist exclusively of ingredients from the 2020 foods. Like we talked about in the last chapter, new and developing theories and studies suggest that some of these foods may increase thermogenesis, and others help you feel full faster and longer, so you're less likely to be hungry later on. You can find your grocery shopping list for Phase 1 in the 5-Day Boost Guidelines section of your user guide. 4 meals a day. As I said earlier, each day in this phase, you will eat a total of 4 meals, which are to be spaced about 4 hours apart from each other. If you're a chronic muncher, where hardly 10 minutes pass without you chewing on something, this might take a little getting used to. But the reasoning behind this guideline, like every aspect of this diet, is rooted in the latest research. Allergy alert. You might have noticed that a few of the foods on the list are commonly associated with allergies, sensitivities, and intolerances. If you know that certain foods on the list cause you problems, you should obviously avoid those. Below are some suggested substitutions, but as with anything related to your physical health, it's best to discuss any new foods with your doctor before introducing them to your diet. If you have an allergy to all tree nuts and you are substituting seeds or seed butters, check the label to make sure they are processed in a facility that does not also process tree nuts. Please note that not all of these foods have been shown in research to have the same effects on thermogenesis or satiety as the foods recommended in the plan. Instead of peanut butter, try almonds, hazelnuts, sunflower seeds, or pumpkin butters. Instead of walnuts or almonds, try unsalted sunflower seeds or pumpkin seeds. For gluten intolerance, gluten allergy, or if you have celiac disease, you can have gluten-free whole grain bread instead of regular rye bread. If you are intolerant or allergic to dairy, including Greek yogurt, you can substitute with a plant-based yogurt or milk, such as almond yogurt or rice milk. Instead of whey protein, you can substitute with powders made of brown rice, hemp seed, or pea protein. Instead of eggs, you can substitute with another protein source such as tofu or mashed chickpeas. If you have an allergy to fish, you can substitute with chicken breast or other lean protein sources. Instead of tofu, you can substitute with eggs or a lean protein source such as chicken breast or chickpeas. For years, the popular thinking has been that eating multiple small meals throughout the day leads to weight loss. But new theories suggest that eating in this pattern may not actually have any specific weight-related benefits and can, in fact, lead to more hunger. The more you're feeding your body, the more likely you are to be in a constant state of hunger, never feeling fully satisfied, not to mention the fact that the more often you're eating, the more opportunities you have to overeat. It can become an ugly cycle. This plan combats all of that by helping you create a healthy eating pattern with the right foods that satisfy. By the time you're feeling hungry again, it will be time to eat your next meal. For some clear-cut examples of your new meal schedule, you can refer to the table in the 4 meals a day section of your user guide, but you should really tailor them to your personal daily routine. Portions for men. We've done all the work of calculating the portions and proportions for you in phase 1, but men do need to eat more than women. Guys, your guideline is simple. You should double the portions of ingredients in one meal per day, and that meal needs to be the one right before the most active time of your day. For example, if you work out in the late afternoon, you should double the portions in your lunch or afternoon snack. However, if you work nights or you're on your feet more in the evenings, double the portions in your last meal of the day. This pattern will work to keep you energized while you're active. You can't borrow nutrients from meals you ate hours ago. Those are already long gone. That's why you want to plan ahead to double the size of your meals leading up to the time of day when you are the most physically active. The truth about breakfast. You've probably heard that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Maybe you can even hear your own mother's voice reciting it to you. But don't let that be your excuse for waking up to an enormous sugar-loaded food fest using the faulty rationale that it will keep you from overeating later in the day. A study out of the University of Cambridge found that people who ate a small breakfast in the morning didn't compensate by eating more calories later on. So, it's not the size of the breakfast that matters, just that you start your day with the right kind of fuel to power you through the morning and into the next meal. Phase 1 Seasonings. For the first phase, you're going to cleanse your palate and boost your results by using only 3 key seasonings to flavor your foods. Salt is not one of them. And while some sodium in your diet is important, taking a 5-day break from adding extra salt to your food will reduce water retention. Think reduction in belly bloat, and teach your taste buds to appreciate the taste of food instead of the taste of salt. Here are your phase 1 seasonings. Garlic. You've likely heard the buzz about the health benefits of garlic, and the latest theories suggest it could even assist with weight loss. Cinnamon. Some studies show that cinnamon could delay emptying of your stomach so you feel fuller longer. Lemon juice. Packed with high levels of vitamin C, new theories suggest that these yellow wonders may help your body produce an amino acid that could increase thermogenesis. What to drink in phase 1?
For the first phase, you should focus on drinking water and green tea. Aim to drink 16 ounces of water with each meal. It's only 5 days. You can do anything for 5 days. If you're used to half a bottle of wine every evening with dinner, I know this will be a change. Just remind yourself of your commitment and the real reasons why you're on this weight loss journey. Let's talk about coffee for a moment, as it's very possible that you are one of the more than 50% of Americans over the age of 18 who report drinking coffee at least once a day. Rest easy. You're allowed to have coffee on this plan. Green tea would be a better choice since it's in the list of 2020 foods, so if you're able to make the switch, that's great. Know that green tea contains caffeine, but typically not as much as coffee. But if I'd have to pry that cup of Joe out of your cold, dead hands before you'd let that habit go, it's okay. Go ahead and include coffee in phase one. Let's be clear. I'm not talking about some high-fat, sugar-saturated whipped dessert masquerading as a coffee. I'm referring to 1 8-ounce cup of plain coffee, with no more than a quarter cup of skim or plant-based milk, almond, coconut, or rice, and up to 1 packet or teaspoon of raw sugar. No artificial sweetener. Got that? Pretty simple. Phase 1 Meals. The idea behind only eating meals using the 20 foods we just discussed for the first 5 days is to help you get used to eating the foods in this diet. You can find a list of your Phase 1 meals in the Phase 1 Meals section of your user guide. Meals with Meaning. In Chapter 3, I asked you to write down everything you ate for one full day and what you were thinking about when you ate it. Most of the time, people tell me they had absolutely no clue how much they were really eating on a daily basis. Right now, I want you to go back and look at what you were thinking about when you ate those foods. Were you thinking about how stressed out you were? Or how lonely you felt? Or maybe you were thinking about how much fun you were having while taking down whole trays of finger foods at a party. Were you eating out of habit? Your regular 3 p.m. snack off the dollar menu? Or perhaps were you totally devoid of thought, and as soon as you wolf down the food, you seem to instantly forget it? Well, my aim is to get you out of these mindsets and into one of assigning value to the food you are eating. Before you begin eating each meal, I want you to perform a 30-second pre-meal check-in. Use this time to remind yourself of your goal weight and the core reasons why you're choosing to eat healthier and lose weight. Or think about how this meal will fuel your body so you can accomplish more, have more energy to spend time with your family, think more clearly at work, and so on. Whatever you do, try to assign positive meaning to the food you are about to eat, so you can begin to think of these foods as giving you a physical and mental reward. Each time you put a morsel of food in your mouth is an opportunity to think about the meaning behind what you're doing, returning to health, and achieving your get real weight, because you now have a personal truth that requires it of you. In addition to a 30-second pre-meal check-in with yourself, here are techniques I first introduced in The Ultimate Weight Solution for Eating Less at Each Sitting. In fact, I bet you'll enjoy each meal more because you'll be eating mindfully. When you sit down to a meal, wait 5 minutes to start eating. Put your fork down between bites. Finish swallowing before your next bite. Eat slowly and take a break halfway through the meal so your brain can register what you've eaten. Do not eat while on the move. Sit down at the table. Eliminate distractions that cause mindless eating, such as the TV, computer, or phone. And finally, leave some food on your plate. You can always save it for later. Where does exercise fit in? In Chapter 10, you will find out about the 30-second Burn Burst exercise program. I think you will find it to be highly effective and easy to integrate into your lifestyle. I encourage you to check out that chapter before you begin Phase 1. Moving on to Phase 2, the 5-Day Sustain. The first phase is only 5 days long, and the same goes for the next phase. Once you've completed the 3 phases, you might return to Phase 1 if you have more weight to lose. It's a great and healthy way to jumpstart your results. Chapter 8, Phase 2, the 5-Day Sustain.
The three great essentials to achieve anything worthwhile are, first, hard work. Second, stick-to-itiveness. Third, common sense. Thomas A. Edison. After you've completed the 5-day boost, it's critical that you take a moment to reflect on how you're feeling and to take notice of the changes occurring in your body and your mind. Right now, flip back to Chapter 4 of your user guide and write down your weight and measurements now that you've completed Phase 1. It's also imperative to note the other changes you're experiencing. They might be subtle or they might be quite obvious. Use the questions in the Acknowledging Your Progress section of your user guide to guide your assessment. Set up your healthy reward system. Pop quiz. How have you rewarded yourself when you've lost weight in the past? I ask because it's important to celebrate your achievements every step of the way. But let's talk about exactly how you've been rewarding yourself. For instance, have you ever found yourself jumping off the scale, thrilled with your new weight, and then racing to the nearest form of junk food because you've earned a reward? You might think, I'm down 10 pounds. I have got to get me a few slices of pizza. How ludicrous is that? Now that you're losing weight in the right way, I don't want you to jeopardize it by rewarding yourself with what really amounts to a punishment. Instead, you've got to set up a healthy reward system. The truth is, if you can just manage to get through that one impulsive moment of weakness, you will be all set for hours. It won't keep returning to nudge you toward the plate of brownies, which I hope isn't even in your new no-fail household, by the way. You'll get over the hump, and then it will be smooth sailing until your next meal. Some examples of sensible rewards that are not food-related include having a massage, facial, manicure, or pedicure, taking a bubble bath while reading a book, or playing outside with the kids or pets. You could also set up incentives for each weight loss milestone you reach. One study shows that people who have cash incentives to lose weight actually tend to lose more. So maybe you start a pool or friendly competition with friends. Write down your list of rewards in the My Healthy Rewards list in the Set Up Your Healthy Reward System section of your user guide, and keep it near you so that when you feel like rewarding yourself in a negative way, you have healthy options right at your fingertips. The 5-Day Sustain Guidelines. Now that you are ready for the second phase, which is also only 5 days long, you'll start enjoying more foods in addition to the 2020 foods. Just like Phase 1, you'll have a list of nutritionally balanced meals that we've created for you, and you'll notice that each meal includes at least 2 of the 2020 foods as well as a protein source. You'll continue to space out your 4 daily meals by approximately 4 hours. Because we want to avoid rebellion, we're switching things up a little in Phase 2 by adding more variety. These new foods will also offer a whole host of nutritional benefits and give you the range of vitamins and minerals your body needs. For a list of these new foods, check out the 5-Day Sustain Guidelines section in your user guide. Why are these foods added in Phase 2? We picked this specific list of foods to add into the second phase for several reasons. The power proteins listed here offer a high protein content with low saturated fat. They are all lean proteins, which according to emerging research can help increase thermogenesis and help maintain muscle. They also bring other essential and energy-providing vitamins and nutrients to the mix. These foods are easy to find at any grocery store. They're inexpensive, and they're delicious. The prime produce, fruits and vegetables, made the list because they are rich in vibrant colors, and those colors are tied to health-protecting antioxidants. For example, tomatoes get their red color from pigments called lycopene, and carrots get their orange hue from beta-carotene. These tasty vegetables act as powerful antioxidants in our bodies. Needless to say, fresh fruits and vegetables are also rich in essential vitamins. The super starches are standouts because they are whole grains, which means they are sources of complex carbohydrates that your body needs. In their whole, unprocessed forms, meaning their bran and germ haven't been removed, these starches are delicious and filling additions to your balanced meals. You need super starches because of their B vitamins and key minerals, plus they provide slow-burning energy. Carbohydrates are your body's preferred fuel source,
but the portions in these meals are designed to fuel your daily activity without creating surpluses that prevent you from losing fat. The fit fats, added in the second phase, offer your body heart-healthy fats. These foods are also packed with vitamins, minerals, and fiber, all of which play key roles in accomplishing the goals of this phase. They also increase your body's satiety, so you feel fully satisfied for longer periods of time, and they increase your body's absorption of antioxidants and vitamins. These categories by themselves are important, but as we talked about earlier, the way they're combined with each meal is also significant. The combination of antioxidant-rich produce, wholesome starch, lean protein, and heart-healthy fat provides a broad spectrum of nutrients at every meal. They also complement each other in important ways. For example, the protein works together with the starches by slowing down your digestion of healthy starches. This better regulates your blood sugar and insulin levels and thus provides your body with carbohydrate fuel in a time-released manner. The result is better blood sugar and insulin regulation. In other words, no sugar highs and crashes. Likewise, fats work well with proteins to provide the raw materials your body needs for healing and repairing cells. The idea is to eat these foods together at each meal to maximize their benefits. It's not just what you eat. Your meals also have to have the proper balance. With the meal options you'll find later in this chapter, I've taken out all the guesswork for you. Practice sensible splurging. Perfectly adhering to any diet 100% of the time is a challenge in the real world, and that's where both you and I live. By starting this diet, you are not entering into some kind of parallel universe where you suddenly don't want to eat anything except the foods listed here. But I don't want you to experience the guilt commonly associated with cheating on a diet. Instead, I want you to get into the mindset of sensible splurging. Here's how it works. Starting in phase 2, you are allowed a sensible splurge once or twice a week. Studies show that people who know there is a splurge available to them tend to actually splurge less and be more successful on weight loss programs. Just knowing that you can have a splurge is often enough to satisfy you, and you don't have to actually follow through with it. Sure, you might be thinking, "Oh great, this is some psychobabble that's just trying to talk me out of my glass of wine." No, it's really not, because I'm also telling you that you can absolutely have the splurge, and it will not totally derail your weight loss if you follow the rules. That's a big if there, and I want to make sure you caught it. There are rules for this. Having a splurge does not mean going rogue. First, you need to understand what a sensible splurge looks like. Because if you think a bucket of popcorn the size of your head or a king-size candy bar you picked up in the checkout line is sensible, you are kidding yourself. A reasonable splurge portion should not exceed approximately 100 calories. Here are some examples. A 4-ounce glass of red or white wine, 14 potato chips, 2 store-bought chocolate chip cookies, a 1-ounce bar of dark chocolate, 4 ounces of gummy bears, 2 bite-sized candy bars, and 3 vanilla wafer cookies. Before you indulge in a splurge, I want you to complete a 30-second assessment. Here are the questions. Is there an emotional reason why I want this splurge, such as sadness, stress, or boredom? And if so, is there another way I can address the emotion without turning to food? Is it enough just knowing that a splurge is allowed and available to me so I can skip it this time? Would a glass of regular or sparkling water or a cup of tea help this desire pass? And can I distract myself from this desire for a splurge by doing another activity, such as take a bath, go on a short walk, etc.? Make an honest effort to bypass the splurge if you can. Even doing so occasionally will demonstrate to you that it's actually not that bad to go without it. If, however, the answer to all 4 of the above questions is no, then go ahead with the splurge, but only if you have already exercised or will definitely be exercising later that day. That exercise is a key component to making these splurges fit into your overall weight loss plan. If you're worried about not being able to stop at a 100-calorie splurge, remember that beyond that amount, it will start to harm your efforts to reach your goals. You have now attached consequences, either positive or negative, to your behavior, so you'll find that you're able to control it better than ever. Phase 2 Seasonings. In Phase 1, you seasoned your meals exclusively with garlic, cinnamon, or lemon. The idea was to let your body and taste buds get used to enjoying the taste of healthy foods while you rid yourself of excess sodium and help reduce your cravings for salt. The goal is to get you to a point where you don't even miss the salt, and if you were to take a bite of one of the salt-laden foods that you used to eat on a daily basis, you probably want to spit it out immediately. The same goes for sugar. I want you to feel like even your formerly favorite sweets are overpowering because you are now conditioned differently. In the second phase, you can start adding in some additional seasonings to your meal routine if you want to. Select salt-free seasonings, such as fresh or dried herbs, that produce a flavor and aroma that satisfies your hankerings. As you'll see, we've already added new seasonings to the meals in this phase, including cilantro, crushed red pepper, and Italian herbs, but it's perfectly okay to add more variety if you'd like. Phase 2 Meals. When it comes to portion sizes, it's important that you continue to learn by doing, which means sticking to the portions and proportions we've designed for you in these meals. The ingredients work together to give your body the right balance of protein, fat, fiber, and carbohydrates so that you are energized and satisfied, but not stuffed. For a list of Phase 2 meals, refer to the Phase 2 Meals section of your user guide. The same rule applies for men as in Phase 1. Double the portion of one meal each day before your most active time of day. Guard against saboteurs. As you begin to lose weight, I want you to be on your guard against potential saboteurs and decide how you will deal with them. These are the people in your life who are likely to encourage you to cheat because they are insanely jealous when others start to lose weight or better themselves in any way. They want to see you go down, and I'm not talking about the number on the scale. You know what I'm talking about here. We asked our national sample whether they had ever felt sabotaged or resented by a friend, spouse, or family member when they were losing weight. The results? 41.6% of you answered yes. We as humans can be very petty. If you go out to dinner with a bunch of your overweight friends and you've lost 40 pounds, you are very threatening to them. They'll say, "Come on, don't be a stick in the mud. You're no fun anymore." But you know better. That's got jealousy written all over it. Sometimes a saboteur comes in the form of a well-intentioned family member who shows their love for you with food. I come from the South, so I know all about this. We'd go for a visit and my family would be slaughtering hogs, killing chickens, frying up pounds of potatoes, gravy, pies, all of it. That was my mother's way of loving us. Whether it's well-meaning or not, you have to be willing to look these folks in the eye and say something like this: "I'm having a great time and I'm really excited for us to all be together. I'm working hard to improve my health, lose weight, and adjust my lifestyle, and kind of like an alcoholic, I really don't want to fall off the wagon. Thank you so much for understanding and supporting me in what I'm doing." Depending on the type of saboteur you're dealing with, your response might differ. But what you can do right now is anticipate the sabotage. Prepare yourself for it and put your guard up against it so it can't throw you off the course when it does actually occur. You need to have some pat responses, like the script I just gave you, at the ready. Doing this exercise will help you steel yourself against any potential threats to your success. A word of caution: as your excitement about losing weight builds, make sure you don't let your gung-ho attitude cross over into self-righteous know-it-all territory. If you find yourself telling everybody else what they should or shouldn't be eating and preaching your new knowledge about healthy foods, it's time to put a cork in it. They don't want you spewing your new wisdom all over them. It can come off as very obnoxious, a definite turnoff. Make your social media accounts work for you. If you use them appropriately, your social media accounts can actually help instead of hinder your weight loss efforts. One study out of the University of South Carolina showed that people who posted information about their weight loss as they dieted lost more weight. It's all in how you set up your virtual environment. If you get involved in online weight loss support groups,
Post photos of your healthy food choices as a visual food journal, or just celebrate your success with like-minded friends online, this experience can enhance your weight loss. Moving toward phase 3, the 20-day attain. After you've completed the second phase, you should be feeling much more in control of your behavior and your diet. You are 10 days into the diet, and you're settling into a new pattern, which is very motivating. Now that you have completed the necessary preparation work, physically, psychologically, and beyond, you are ready for the next 20 days, which are the heart of the 2020 diet. You've looked backward, you've looked forward, and you've got all the vision you need to make your Get Real Weight a reality. Chapter 9, Phase 3, The 20-Day Attain. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Sir Winston Churchill. You've now been following this plan for 10 days. Congratulations! The past 10 days have essentially been preparation for the 20-day attain phase, which is truly the crux of this diet. You have laid the important groundwork, and you're likely feeling better than you have in a long time. Let's perform another quick self-evaluation so you can really see and appreciate your progress. Go back and fill in your updated weight and measurements in the Watch Your Transformations section of your user guide. Then answer the questions in the Acknowledging Your Progress section of your user guide. Remember to reward yourself in a healthy way for your achievements. In the third phase, which is 20 days in length, you'll be adding in a wide variety of food to keep your palate from getting bored, to stop any hint of rebellion you might experience, and to give your body the essential nutrients it needs. So if you've been missing a particular fruit or vegetable, you'll probably find it in this phase. Each meal will still include at least two of the 2020 foods, and you'll even have some recommendations for how and what to order out at restaurants. For you to get what you want out of this journey and to maintain your positive results, you need a solid plan in place for all circumstances, and that certainly includes eating out. The 20-Day Attain Guidelines. To keep you on track with the nutritional content and balance of your meals, there are still specific recipes from which you'll choose all your meals in Phase 3. Variety is a key component to weight loss success, so there are 80 meals in Appendix B, which you can find in your user guide, that you can rotate in any way you like for the next 20 days. You might find specific ones that you love and want to repeat over and over, which is perfectly fine. Or you might want to try each of them once. Either way, I encourage you to have fun with these and start to make this new healthy way of eating your permanent lifestyle. This isn't about becoming a gourmet chef and spending hours preparing meals every day. That's not realistic for most of us, and that's also why these meals don't require culinary training or lots of free time. They are quick, easy, and designed for people with little or no cooking experience. This phase contains some important carryovers from the previous phases. Consistent meal spacing. By now, you've likely acclimated to eating approximately every 4 hours. In this phase, continue with the routine of consuming 4 meals per day every 4 hours. This consistent meal schedule is a healthy, efficient way for your body to function. By the time you're hungry, we're feeding you again, which not only keeps you from rebelling, but it helps you burn more calories continuously throughout the day. Keep referring to the 2020 Hunger and Fullness Scale in your user guide so you can decipher physical hunger from fake, trigger-induced, or habit hunger, and so you don't overeat at mealtime. If you're full, stop eating. You should be letting go of that desire to lick your plate clean. Splurge sensibly. As you did in Phase 2, follow the rules for sensible splurging, knowing that you are capable of having a handful of something once or twice a week, but just don't turn it into a pig-out session. You can accomplish your goals without feeling like you'll never be able to enjoy another piece of chocolate or glass of wine. Eat out responsibly. Speaking of restriction, you shouldn't have to swear off restaurants for the remainder of your life in order to succeed at weight loss. But you do need to be armed with a clear-cut game plan before you place your order. Let's spend some time talking about strategies for eating out. Guidelines for eating out.
When you go to a restaurant, you're entering back into an environment in which you will be surrounded by the sights, smells, and sounds associated with triggers and temptations. The only way to keep yourself on track and out of trouble is to know exactly what you're going to order before you even get in the car. This kind of active foresight takes barely any time at all, and the payoff is big. Spend just a few seconds deciding what you're going to eat and drink before you go, and you'll guarantee that you will leave that restaurant feeling satisfied, not stuffed, and beaming with pride that you got through the trigger gauntlet without one slip-up. Many restaurants now offer online menus, so you can review your options ahead of time. If not, don't worry. Given the variety of food available to you in Phase 3, you can bank on the fact that most restaurants offer some basics that will work great for you. Restaurant Rules. 1. As with all your meals, make sure this one includes at least two of the 2020 foods. 2. Green tea could be one of those options, and it's widely available. 3. If you're comfortable with it, you could bring one of the foods with you to the restaurant, such as almonds, rye crisps, or raisins, all which are very portable. 4. If you're uncomfortable bringing your own ingredients, you could eat one of them right before you go to the restaurant. 5. And finally, make sure the restaurant meal contains prime produce, fruit and/or veggies, a power protein, a superstarch, such as a 100% whole grain item like corn or skin-on whole potatoes, and fit fat. Restaurant meal examples. You can find a list of some sample meals you can order at popular restaurants in the Guidelines for Eating Out section of your user guide, and they all follow the above Phase 3 meal requirements. Any item with an asterisk indicates that you need to bring your own from home. Increase your restaurant ordering IQ. If you're going to a restaurant with no menu available online, don't be afraid to have a quick conversation with your server. Let him or her know that you're keeping it simple and that you'd prefer your food prepared with a little olive oil rather than butter, that your vegetables be steamed instead of fried or sautéed in oil, and that you want to avoid massive portions. You can even ask them to box up half of it in advance and serve you the other half. Consider asking about whole grain options for bread or pasta, and inquire about brown rice instead of white. You'd be surprised just how accommodating they will be. Remember, they work for tips. Just be kind and gracious, not demanding or condescending, and your server and the restaurant chef should be more than willing to work with you. What's next? In the next chapter, I'll introduce the 30-second burn burst exercise program to incorporate into your new routine. If you're over there rolling your eyes, then listen up. Exercise is one of the chief ways, and quite possibly the best way, to control your weight over time. If you want to make weight loss permanent, and I know you do, then incorporating the right type of exercise into your life is a must. But what's not required is being miserable while you plod away on the treadmill for hours. This program will change your perception of exercise and save you time, and you might just enjoy it. So, no more eye rolling. In Chapter 12, you will discover a clear formula for maintaining healthy weight loss for the rest of your life. Part 4. Your Body's Capacity for Change. Chapter 10. The 30-Second Burn Burst Exercise Program. Fitness. If it came in a bottle, everybody would have a great body. Cher. Did you know that your fat cells actually get larger from sitting too much? Seriously, your fat expands when your life is made up of a never-ending succession of various forms of seats. Have you ever heard the term secretarial spread? It's the idea that your rear end will spread out to fill the width of the chair you're sitting in for hours on end. No disrespect to secretaries, but that's not a pretty picture. So if your typical routine takes you from lying in bed, to sitting at a desk, to sitting in a car, to sitting in front of a television, and then back to lying in bed day after day, week after week, month after month, then I've got news for you. You're living a sedentary lifestyle. And it doesn't matter what you eat or don't eat. Your body will not change for good unless and until you get up and move it. In case you haven't noticed, the business of fitness has exploded over the past decade. From workout contraptions of every shape, size, and price point to intense at-home exercise DVDs, magazines, books, classes, and trainers, we're talking about billions of dollars paid by consumers with visions of six-pack abs or sculpted rear ends dancing in their heads. As the industry has boomed, more and more studies have been conducted to discover new exercise forms and methods that can help the human body achieve weight loss and good health. A lot of new theories have emerged, and my team has used this new information to build the 30-second Burn Burst exercise program. We think it's an exciting program to help you fit exercise into your busy lifestyle and keep you from getting bored. If you're thinking, "Dr. Phil, I already go to the gym, so get off my back," then I've got news for you. You might have spent hours at the gym on the elliptical trainer or pushing the pedals on the recumbent bike while reading your favorite novel or watching TV, barely breaking a sweat during your marathon session. What if I told you that new exercise theories suggest that you may be able to burn the same amount of calories with less time trudging away at the gym if you worked in some short bursts of high intensity? Well, get ready to be outraged, in the best possible way. Low-intensity, super-long sessions may be your opportune time for getting through a huge stack of magazines or watching your favorite TV shows, but there may be a way to get more out of your workout than catching up on the latest Real Housewives drama. The truth is, some scientists believe that long and slow is not the best fat-burning formula. New theories regarding how the body burns off sugar and fat, both are forms of energy, suggest that when you get yourself into a high-intensity zone for short periods of time, or bursts, you ratchet up your body's fat burning significantly. Translation: this type of exercise could help you accomplish more in less time. So, let's get efficient. Current physical activity quiz. First, you need to identify your starting point, because it will determine how you will work yourself into the exercise plan. You can find the current physical activity quiz in your user guide. Answer the questions honestly. Seek your doctor's permission. Regardless of your current physical activity level, I am telling you in no uncertain terms that you need to discuss this exercise program with your doctor before you start it. This is not an option. It's required. If you have any pre-existing conditions that could be affected or exacerbated by activity, or if you've been extremely sedentary for a long time, then you need to take certain steps before you even attempt this program. If you don't, you might be setting yourself up for a cardiac event such as a heart attack. This isn't just some throwaway disclaimer. If your cardiovascular system is healthy, then exercise can help maintain your health. But if it's not, then heed your doctor's advice. Rate of perceived exertion, or RPE. Before we get into the specifics of this innovative form of exercise, I want you to start tuning into your body. So many people just trudge their way through their day or their life, barely aware of their surroundings, much less of the cues their own bodies are giving them. But when you really wake up, pay attention, and start listening, you'll be amazed how many messages your body is trying to send you. For example, the hunger and fullness scale has shown you to discern when you are physically hungry and when it's just fake hunger conjured by your mind in response to some kind of trigger. You've learned about the physical symptoms you experience when you truly need food, such as a growling stomach or lightheadedness. Similarly, I'd like you to become acutely aware of another set of indications or signs that your body is giving you on a daily basis, and these have to do with your physical exertion. There's been quite a bit of discussion in the exercise community about whether a heart rate monitor gives you any more of an advantage than simply self-monitoring your rate of perceived exertion, or RPE. Basically, your RPE is your built-in system for judging your own physical output. I'm talking about heavy breathing, rapid heart rate, sweat, a feeling of fatigue in major muscle groups, and so on. Your mind perceives how much you're moving, whether you're sitting as still as a statue on the couch or running full out on a treadmill. Get moving now! The World Health Organization and the Surgeon General recommend that adults get a minimum of 150 weekly minutes of moderate intensity physical activity, for example, walking, dancing, or light swimming, or 75 weekly minutes of vigorous activity, for example, running, cycling, or fast swimming. If you do this, you'll experience some health benefits. But for even better results and weight loss, the recommendation is to shoot for 300 minutes of moderate intensity activity or 150 minutes of vigorous activity per week. But if you're currently living a sedentary lifestyle, all that activity probably sounds overwhelming and unrealistic. Well, before you decide it's out of the question, here's some good news. A study in the journal Preventive Medicine showed that sedentary adults who complete short bouts of light to moderate physical activity, such as walking briskly around the block, for just 6 minutes at a time, 5 times per day, can experience similarly significant improvements in their overall physical fitness as people who complete one continuous bout of exercise. You know the old joke about how to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. It's the same with exercise. You don't have to do it all at once, especially when you're first starting out. You can find a version of an RPE scale that I have adapted from the Borg scale of perceived exertion and expanded upon in the Rate of Perceived Exertion or RPE section of the user guide, so that you can rate your level of energy expenditure without any extra gear like a heart monitor. This is meant to help you understand when you are exercising and when you are seriously exercising. Keep in mind that you may not experience the same signals of exertion as someone else. For instance, a marathon runner would likely be at 1 or 2 when walking briskly, while someone who isn't in shape would be at a 5 or 6 when walking at the same pace. That's why this is an ideal method to determine your exertion, because it's tailor-made to you and it will change and evolve as you increase your level of daily physical activity. When I first started doing the high-intensity exercise bursts you will soon read about, I found out very quickly that you don't just go from 0 to 10 in one swift shake of your tail feathers. It takes serious labor to work your way up this scale. So, when you start to learn about the burn bursts in this program, keep in mind that your 30-second clock doesn't start ticking until you've reached an 8 or 9 on the RPE scale, and it may take you a couple minutes to get up there. For me, the best way to apply this exercise regimen is on a stationary bicycle. I just keep increasing that resistance so it gets harder and harder to pedal and I can get into my high-intensity range. Boy, I'll tell you what, if I sat down on the bike cold and tried to move those pedals at that resistance level, I couldn't do much more than stand on them. My point is, you've got to first let yourself work your way up the RPE scale and then start timing your burst when you reach an 8 or 9. Before we launch into the specifics of the exercise program, I'd like to remind you, these routines will not take that much time out of your day. You can complete them in about 30 minutes. Anaerobic and aerobic exercise. You've probably heard of aerobic exercise. Now we often refer to it as cardio. But you might remember the days of aerobics classes. Essentially, aerobic activity occurs in the presence of oxygen, and it uses both glucose and fat for fuel. Anaerobic exercise, however, does not need oxygen. Instead, it uses glycogen, which is the sugar stored in your muscles, as its fuel. This type of activity builds muscle tissue, which we know to be metabolically active and excellent at burning fat. When you perform the type of high-intensity interval training I'm suggesting in this chapter, the 30-second bursts are considered anaerobic activity. So, which type of exercise is best for burning off fat and calories? Both! This burn burst exercise program combines aerobic and anaerobic activity to help you lose weight and build muscle. Cardio burn bursts. The official term for this type of cardiovascular exercise is HIIT, or H-I-I-T, which stands for High Intensity Interval Training. The basic concept is that you're completing short bursts of intense exercise, an 8, 9, or even a 10 on the RPE scale, and then immediately returning to a recovery pace for a slightly longer period of time, before starting the next burst of intensity. If your exercise sessions were plotted out on a graph, you would see peaks and valleys rather than just one steady pace across time. A growing body of research suggests that this sort of high-intensity, low-volume interval training is an efficient form of exercise. One potential benefit of this type of exercise is that it can save you time. Some studies in this area suggest that, by varying the intensity of your workout, you can accomplish more for your body in less time. More research is needed to confirm this effect, as many of the studies so far have been small and had other limitations. But the most important thing is that I'm getting you off the couch and moving. I was convinced by these potential benefits, so I gave it a shot, and I've been very impressed with the results in my body. I have more energy overall, I perform better on the tennis court, and my physical fitness has improved. This form of exercise might be a new concept for you, so I want you to pay very close attention to your body's signals. Obviously, don't push so hard during the 30-second bursts that you pass out or otherwise can't complete the workout. But I want you to reap the most benefits, so find that sweet spot of pure energy expenditure. You'll quickly adapt, and call me crazy, but very soon you will find this exhilarating. You will experience a rush of endorphins, a certain powerful chemical in your brain which can make you feel happier and even euphoric. You've probably heard of the term runner's high, and it was coined because of these feel-good chemicals that exercise naturally helps your body release. Stick to this workout, and you'll start to look forward to and even crave exercise. Cardio Burn Burst Exercise Routine. Complete the following workout 2 to 3 times a week on days when you do not do any resistance training, which I'll tell you about shortly. Warm up with light cardio for 3 to 5 minutes. Examples of light cardio are brisk walking, slow jogging, dancing, or jumping jacks. Start your 30-second burn burst cycle. Choose a cardio activity to which you have access, whether in your home, at the gym, or outdoors. Do it full out, high intensity, for 30 seconds. Note, your 30 seconds start when you reach an 8 or 9 on the RPE scale. It will take you at least a few seconds and maybe even a minute before you reach that level of exertion. When you're there, start timing. If you cannot sustain this pace for 30 full seconds, just go as long as you can and keep track each time, because as you continue to exercise in this way, you will find that you're able to go a little longer each session. Slow down for 60 to 90 seconds with that same cardio activity or recovery pace. Allow your heart rate and breathing to slow, but be careful not to return all the way to resting pace, or else the next burst will be much harder. Start your next 30-second burn burst. As before, you'll need at least a few seconds to reach an 8 or 9 on the RPE scale. When you reach it, begin timing. Keep up that pace for as long as you can, but not more than 30 seconds. Finally, slow down to a recovery pace. Repeat this sequence 8 times for a total of 8 burn bursts and 8 recoveries. The total workout time will be around 15 to 20 minutes. Note, depending on your starting level of fitness, you may want to start with 2 to 4 burn bursts. But in subsequent weeks, as your body catches on to your new regimen, you should increase burn bursts until you can do 10 to 12 in a session. Resistance burn bursts. Exercise isn't nearly as effective or efficient if you ignore resistance training. It's the combination of cardio and resistance that can help you get a toned, overall healthy body. This is why I want you to integrate this resistance program into your overall exercise plan. The official name for this type of exercise is HIIT, which stands for High Intensity Interval Resistance Training. To do this, you'll need some light weights. You might want to start at 1 to 2 pound hand weights if you're brand new to weightlifting, or you can use resistance bands. Many trainers and fitness professionals recommend resistance bands, especially for beginners. They're very inexpensive, easy to use, and they pack easily, so you have no excuse not to exercise while you're traveling. This is a type of circuit training in which you'll pair different moves with non-competing muscle groups, such as a lower body exercise and an upper body exercise, with only 30 seconds between sets. These are called compound exercises, and some scientists believe that they are very effective at burning fat and building lean.